the pastor and a teacher. Jesus stood in all five offices, and the anointing of God was upon his life all the time. All the time. And as a result of unbelief, the people locked themselves in the area where there was only a dribble of anointing that could flow, and for it to flow, Jesus has to lay hands. That's sad. Jesus has to lay hands. Which is why we need to understand that we can have healing services, but are we prepared to spend that time building up that faith level in a meeting? Are we prepared to go into worship? I mean, Catherine Kuhlman's meetings lasted 4 hours and the preaching is only about 20 minutes and the rest are all for healing. Are we prepared to get into that? It is possible. You see, what happens is once the Lord begins healing, in a meeting, the atmosphere of faith rises. Some may call it emotion, some may call it this, but you can't argue with results. Just like ministers who didn't quite believe in miracles came to Catherine Kuhlman and they said, "Catherine, all the healings that were under you are only psychosomatic healings." She looked at them and said this to them, "If they were only psychosomatic, why couldn't you have healed them?" I mean, if they say it's just mentally caused, that's what psychosomatic, why didn't you heal them? Why can't you use some sort of mental treatment? Or some sort of mental re-education? So they had no answer. But one thing we know, that the faith level rises and falls. So that's why a man of God can go to a place and then you got powerful anointing, go to another place, suddenly you got to lay hands. But if you're sensitive to the Lord in your church, you could build that anointing. It depends on what you want that meeting for. Like if we want a healing service and a healing crusade, then it's a different thing. And you build that faith level. You could sense that faith level rising. As one is healed, as two are healed, people sense, know that God is in their midst. And then the anointing rise higher, and people's faith rise higher and higher, and it reaches a point where it can be very awesome. So it's easy, say it's easy, to tap on the power of God. Whether in our homes, whether in our house, whether in this place, whether in your church, it's easy. Remember this, the power of God is always there. But we have to do the right things to bring about the atmosphere of faith for the Holy Spirit to work. That is why if we are gathered to teach the word, then we just do a little bit and just go straight to the teaching of the word. It doesn't mean that our anointing is not there. It just means that we have tapped on different types of anointing for different purposes. And of course, we need different types of anointing. I mean, you wouldn't want to go to church all the time and there's no teaching on the word. And you keep getting sick and then go hands get healed. Keep getting sick and lay hands get healed. And then you need to teach the people the word so they don't get sick at all. Then they lay hands on themselves when they get sick. So we need to teach the word and there's a different anointing to do that. But I wanted to show that flow in the Gospel of Mark, how it increased. It fell a little bit in Mark 6. But in that same chapter, in chapter 6, same chapter, verse 53, when they crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret and anchored there. When they came out of the boat, do you notice what happened in verse 54? When they came out of the boat, immediately the people recognized him. Now that will help the healing ministry. The moment he stepped off the boat, he said, "Hey, Jesus is here." And when they say Jesus is here, look at verse 55. They ran through the whole surrounding region and began to carry about on beds those who were sick to wherever they heard he was. Why was that so? If you read Gennesaret and the area of the Gadarenes, was the area in Decapolis, which was where the man with the legion was set free. Remember, Jesus wanted to go to the area to possibly preach the word, but he did not have the opportunity. Instead, in Mark 5, the demon-possessed man, in verse 20, Mark 5:20, he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marvel. So that man has been talking about Jesus all the time. So everybody in that place know him. He was the naked man. I mean, they must have known him. They have tried to cure him. They could not. They tried to tie him down. They could not. He broke the chains. He broke the ropes. So the whole town knows about him. That madman of Gadarene. Suddenly that madman comes back cured, sane, cloth, and say, Jesus cured me. That would be an impact. And in fact, after that, everybody was just waiting for this Jesus. That is why the moment Jesus landed in Mark 6, they recognized him, they ran. They didn't just walk. The Bible says they ran. They ran and they brought the sick, they carried the sick. And I don't know how they did it. I mean, it's very hard to run with a stretcher. The poor man on the stretcher said, hey, where are you taking me? You know, why is this right? Say, faster, Jesus is there. Jesus is not there all the time. And the people were crutches to go, oh, Jesus is going to heal me. In fact, everybody ran. Now, when you have that kind of expectancy, the anointing will increase. And the reason I want to show this is, I want to convince you that you could have revival in your church. You could have revival right in your church, right in any place, if you understand the laws that operate them. Because the Holy Spirit is the same everywhere. It's how we are responding to Him, and how we are locking ourselves into our confession. And so here is the people running to Jesus in Mark 6, and they wanting to be cured, wanting to be healed, and they began to carry about on base those who were sick to wherever they heard He was. Wherever He entered, into villages, cities, or the country, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged Him that they might just touch the border of His garment. It went right up again. This is the same Jesus who was in His hometown in Mark 6 earlier. Now at the end of Mark 6, you see that level of anointing that He flowed in. It all depended on the response that people had of Jesus. So they increased for a purpose. Now let's go back to Mark chapter 1. And having seen that theme and that flow, as we study the Gospel of Mark, we want to see how we are to flow in the fullness that Jesus has for us. And it depends on one key thing, and which Mark brings forth. That is, who we say Jesus is, and how we respond to Him. You see, who we say that He is will affect what we receive from Him. Just as when you say, come and lay hands on my daughter, He will straight away be limited to that. Who we say He is. See, if you say that Jesus is just a carpenter, that's all He is to you. Now, we are talking about Jesus Christ, not talking about ordinary men. But in a sense, even people, ordinary human vessels anointed by God, has a certain realm in that. Not fully like Jesus, because He is Almighty God. Remember when Jesus says, receive a righteous man as a righteous man, and you receive a righteous man's reward. Receive a prophet as a prophet, and you receive a prophet's reward. I've always wondered, what is a prophet's reward? Until God began to show me that a prophet's reward is a manifestation of the prophet's ministry. When you receive a prophet as a prophet, then the prophet can function as a prophet and prophesy. And we all get blessed. When you receive a righteous man as a righteous man, the righteousness of that man begins to affect you and change your life. That's a reward. Now, that can only happen in the anointings and office we stand in. But for the Lord Jesus Christ, He is everything. He is El Shaddai, Elohim. He is Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Shammah, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Sikenu. And He is everything. What we call of Him will limit what He is to our lives. With that theme, we will see in Mark chapter 1 right up to chapter 8, the main emphasis of Mark was who Jesus was and what people say that He is or He was. Who He is. There were different responses. See, in the Gospel of Mark chapter 1, as He cast out devils, straight away the devils recognize Him. Immediately, it tells us here in Mark 1 that the devil says, the unclean spirit cried out in verse 24, "Let us alone! What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are." Look at what they said. "I know who you are. The Holy One of God." They know who Jesus is. They recognize Jesus' authority and Jesus' lordship. But Jesus was not interested in the demons confessing Him. Jesus doesn't converse with demons. He's not interested in demons telling long stories. I remember in the early days of the ministry, we were casting a demon from one person. It was over in Butterworth. And then there were these fellows, and they were talking to the demon and asking, "Where you come from? Since when you got into this body?" And the demon was really telling a whole story. They could write a book on how the demon operated. And the demon said, and they said, "I came from the deep blue sea." And they had to interpret, those smart Alex. They interpret what the deep blue sea was. And they asked the lady to do certain things, all kinds of crazy things. And I just sat there watching. Because I was not too much into this kind of thing. And as I sat there, the Lord said, "She is actually wearing a charm. That's why the demon doesn't want to come out." So finally, after they exhausted themselves about 1 hour, and the demon lead them to different things. I couldn't recall all the stories. They sounded pretty interesting. But demons lie. They are liars. Now, I know some people will say, but if you command in Jesus' name to tell the truth, they will tell the truth. Where is the scripture and verse? No scripture in verse. The devil is a liar, the demons lie. Now, to lie effectively, they mix a bit of truth with lies. So it's hard to discern. And we are not supposed to find out from the demons. Why must we find out from the demon when they got in? Why don't we find out from the Holy Spirit who's with us? So, after an hour, they say, they look over, and I was just praying in tongues. And they say, "You know, brother, you got anything?" And I say, I perceive that she has a charm. Why don't we look for that?" And so they found it around her. And the strange thing is, without casting, without taking authority, as they brought the scissors and they were about to cut the charm, the demon screamed. When they cut it, the demon left. No need to command. We didn't even have a chance to command. So Jesus told the demon in verse 25, "Be quiet and come out of him." How opposite from many that say, "Make as much noise as possible, then come out." But Jesus said, "Be quiet and come out." And still that demon convulsed, cried, and then came out. So the demons recognized Jesus. The demons know who He is. It's said that demons recognize Him, but it's the humans.